Welcome to AnimeCons TV. I'm Doug Wilder. This week we're once again going into the world of applying for panels at conventions. One of the things that can sometimes happen is you think you might have submitted the best panel idea ever. You're super confident in it, only to have your hopes dashed as you get that notification in your box that says, unfortunately, we decided not to accept your panel. And while it can be a tough news to take, we're going to look at some of the possible answers to the question that a lot of people like to ask, which is, why didn't my panel get approved? Here we go. So first off, if your panel was not accepted, don't harass the panel staff for a convention. Don't do it pre-con, don't do it post-con, and especially don't do it at the convention. They might have time to send a note in your notification when they tell you that you weren't accepted, but that's never a guarantee. So they can sometimes get up to hundreds of applications for panels and only have a couple dozen slots to fill. So it's very difficult. And while they can send out notifications, they're under no obligation to. The other issue that this brings is that sometimes it can create arguments that no one really wants to be having. So if they do send you a reason, just kind of accept it, learn from it, move on. If they don't give you a reason, don't take it personally. It's just kind of a logistics thing. And so first up, some of the simple things that can happen that are easy to overlook is that you didn't submit your panel request in the specific format or didn't follow specific instructions. Then this is making sure you follow the instructions on the website to the T. And make sure you're paying attention to when the submission deadline is. Ideally, cons should have their information clear, and when the deadline hits, it's automatically removed from the cons website, so you can't see it as soon as the deadline's passed, but not everyone does that. We've also seen people that are like, oh, I emailed you about a panel, but it's like, well, did you use the submission form? Oh, no, I just sent you an email. No, that doesn't cut it. You got to follow the same rules as everyone else. The other thing that might happen, and this is another trap that a lot of people fall into, is you say that you can only do it at very specific times. And while they do ask you preferred times, if you say you can only do your panel at one certain time of day, and all of the programming slots have been filled, either say industries having panels, VIPs are having panels, things like that, then they can't fit you in. And honestly, part of submitting to do panels at a convention is understanding that you've got to be a little bit flexible with your schedule and kind of accepting things like that. Next on one of the bigger topics, and this is another thing that we see happen to a lot of people, is they submit a panel that's not really relevant to the type of convention they're attending. I'm just going to bring this one up. This is from Anime Boston's mission statement, which is straight from the About Us section of their website. While the main focus on Anime Boston has always been Japanese animation and comics, we have expanded to include aspects of Japanese pop culture, J-pop, J-rock, and live-action Japanese media. We have also delved into Japanese history and traditional culture, thus encouraging people to develop a more well-rounded perspective. So if you look at that, everything in there is Japanese, and that's kind of the con's focus, is Japanese media. So you may love Doctor Who and try and submit a panel, but it's not really, as much as all of us like Doctor Who is British, not Japanese. But people do find creative ways to link back to Japan and stuff. If you've followed the podcast in the past, I've mentioned several panels that I always thought were pretty creative. I mentioned Anime Biology, which was one I saw at Otakon a couple years back, where the presenter was a high school science teacher, and he talked about things like, hey, how can people could possibly have blue hair? Could cybernetics work? Things like that. And while it was definitely a biology lesson, it was still connected back to things in anime, like wild hair colors, wild eye colors, things like that. Another one I went to was kind of talking about the history and culture of Japanese punk rock music in Japan, and it was very much focused on punk rock music, but it was still connected to Japan. So things like that. So another example would be, say you really like Star Wars, and you want to do a Star Wars panel at an anime convention. That doesn't really fit all the time, but maybe you could find a way to talk about some of the things like how Star Wars is inspired by things like the samurai, things like how is it really closely followed the Japanese movie Hidden Fortress, things like that. So if you can connect it back, that's really the important, because then it ties the two things together. But if you're just doing straight out things that aren't connected, you're going to have a much harder time getting accepted when it's not really related to the con type. Another thing that could knock someone out is that the panel description might be misleading. And this is something where I always tell people, when you're writing a description, make it as clear as possible. Something you can do is ask a friend, someone that you trust, to read what you're thinking about submitting and see if it's clear, especially if the person you're asking isn't familiar with the content that you're presenting. Ask them, hey, does this make sense? Would this sound to me interesting? Does this sound like, does it make sense to you for what this panel is about? And if they say yes, then you're on the right track. And don't be afraid to ask multiple people. On the same token, making sure the title is clear. And this is a trap I see a lot of people fall into, even when their panel does get accepted, is that their panel title doesn't really make it clear what the panel is about. And I always say that your panel title should be Truth in Advertising. Make it clear, make it obvious. Don't try so hard to be clever, because then you're just going to confuse people. And again, this is something you can ask a friend to really take a look at and let them know let you know what they think and if it makes sense, even if they're not familiar with the content that's going to be presented. If they can figure out what your panel is about from just the title, you're on the right track. Something else that can happen is repetitive content. And cons don't always want a lot of the same thing. And somebody may have already submitted a very similar idea, especially if it's a new popular series or media, things like that. So this is when you're writing your description, you really want to show how your panel is unique. A lot of cons will have the program guide description, but then you can have a much further thing for what you're submitting to the kind of panel selection staff. And this is why things like ask a whatever cosplayer panels are kind of a dime a dozen, and why you're not seeing a lot of them, because you've been to one or two, you've probably seen all the sort of things that are going to happen. It's not really engaging content. It's the same old thing over and over again. So when you're writing your content, show why it's going to be different, why it's going to be unique. But kind of the other side of that is another reason to get knocked out, which is your topic is too obscure. And I realize it's a fine line that you want to be unique, but you don't want to be obscure. And it's finding that balance, which is, I admit, is hard to see. But the reason you don't want to go too obscure is that, bottom line, conventions want butts in seats. And what I mean by that is they want people that are, you know, they want programming that's going to draw people in and have seen the thing. Because if you're having a lot of panels that aren't interesting to people, or people don't know what they're about, they're not going to go to it. And they're just going to be sitting in hallways kind of blocking traffic with nothing to do. Convention organizers don't want, convention attendees don't want that. So you kind of have to find that middle ground of what's going to be unique, but still not so unique that it's going to lose people. So it's a balance, and it's hard to find. But bottom line, again, is this going to be something that's going to draw people in? And finally, kind of one side I want to take a look into for why panels don't get something is kind of something that is a little tough to think about, but I'm going to ask you guys to hear me out, and that is maybe you don't have a very good track record. And what I mean by that is a variety of things. If you've presented panels previously, that's a tongue twister, panels previously. If you submitted them previously and presented, then and you didn't have a very good turnout, or you had a lot of people leave, then there might be some issues, because then it's not very engaging. Something I've said is, you know, it doesn't so much matter the size of the crowd, but how engaged people are. If you've only got five people in your room, but all five of those people are there for the entire time you're presenting and are hanging on, then you've got a good panel. Maybe just the schedule was weird. And a lot of cons do track how big a panel audience is at the beginning, middle, and end of a panel. So there's things like that. Something else is if your panel just, you know, needs work, again, the only way to get better is to practice. But a thing you can also do is, if you have a slide deck especially, have in the final slide, which is, you know, kind of thanks for coming, have an email address or a Twitter handle or something like that where people can send in feedback, because that's kind of the way you're going to learn how to get better at panels, what people like, what people don't. And if you don't want to give out kind of your own personal everyday email, you just go onto Gmail or a service like that and make a brand new email account. I have one that I use specifically just for my panels, so I know if I get something at that account, it's specifically related for feedback on my panels and things like that. Finally, maybe something that, like, you just broke a rule that you shouldn't, people get into trouble if they've done something like they've had showed 18 plus content and didn't make a note of that when they were submitting their panel, things like that. Obviously, you don't want to show up to a panel drunk, things like that. And usually staff will let you know. Another thing that I've seen hurt people is they've kind of a red mark because they were a no-show. Something happened, you know, maybe they had to go to the emergency, take a friend to the emergency room. Maybe a family member died a couple days before the convention, things like that. And this is when it's okay to get in touch with the panel staff. But as soon as something happens that means you're not going to be able to present your panel, let them know right away. Send them an email. And if you don't get a response in like a week or so, send them another email. Just make sure they know what happens. Because if no one shows up to do the panel and they're wondering where the people are, it's going to look bad on both the con and you. But if you tell them, hey, something happened, some cons, not all, but some, may be willing to give you a second chance the following year because it was circumstances beyond your control. Finally, the last thing is, don't be deceptive in your panel description. Don't make it sound like it's going to be one thing and then be like, oh, actually, we're doing this totally different thing, and kind of troll the audience or things like that. Because especially when you're kind of being nasty, turns out con convention staffs talk to one another. And if they know that a panelist or a group of panelists is trouble at one con, they're going to let other cons know that, hey, these guys aren't that great. Maybe not take them for a panel. Things like that. So, honesty is really the best policy. So once again, I hope this helps, and I can't emphasize enough that when you're writing a panel submission, especially if it's your first couple times doing it, ask someone you trust to review it before you submit it. Make sure you still submit it by the deadline, but ask someone to take a look. Ask them if it makes sense. Proofread, things like that. Make sure things are clear. And if you've got feedback on this or any other episode that we've done, don't forget to reach out to us. You can send us an email at podcast@animecons.tv. Our Twitter handle is @animeconsTV. You can even leave us a voicemail at 762-ADEQUATE. You can also leave a comment for us on our Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram, and even this YouTube channel that we have. I'm Doug Wilder, and we'll see you guys next time.